Good morning, children. At the outset, let me introduce myself. Myself, UN Rath TGT from ACS to Rauthbata. So, we are going to study today a chapter in history. The name of the chapter is Vital Villages, Thriving Towns. Vital Villages, Thriving Towns. Please open page number 87, children. So as the title suggests, vital villages means vital means which is essential and necessary. Thriving means developing or growing with vigor. Okay. So how the village and town both developed during this time, that was the topic of our study today. So at the outset, the experience of a boy called Prabhakar is given. Prabhakar had been to a blacksmith shop. There he saw how the blacksmith is giving shape to the different items of iron by making them red hot in the charcoal fire and beating them and giving them proper shape. The place was very hot, but at the same time it was fascinating. So children, you know, in one of our old chapters, we have read, in chapter 4, we have read about the Harappan civilization. There, we know that the Harappan people used many metals extensively, such as bronze, silver, gold, copper, etc. But the use of iron was not known to them. So, this chapter deals with the use of iron and its advantages. As given in our history book, we know that early men knew the use of iron around 3000 BC. So, with the use of iron, the life of the people underwent a drastic change. Iron was essential for the growth of villages, cities and civilizations. Tools such as plowshare, sickle and axes were used in agriculture. So the new tools and system of transplantation increased production. As a result, irrigation also developed. So see the right hand side of your book. Picture of certain iron tools are given. Please identify them. These and some of the largest collection of iron tools and weapons were found in the megalithic burials, about which we have read in chapter number 5. So now we will see how iron developed agriculture. So the new tools increased production. Irrigation was also used. Irrigation works that were built during this time included canals, wells, tanks and artificial lakes. Okay, children, now we will see how that system worked. First of all, we know that the kings planned the irrigation in such a way that it was most successful. So some important stages of irrigation we will study. Number one, you will see, first of all, money was needed by kings for armies, for palaces, for forts. So the source of money was the taxes given by the farmers. So the kings demanded taxes from the farmers. Farmers have to increase production to pay taxes. This is possible with irrigation only. So kings provided money and planned irrigation works. Who will provide the labor? The labor was provided by common people. As a result, what happened? Production increased. So does the revenue. Farmer also got the benefit because crop production became more certain. So in this way, the villages developed. So, we will study about the villages in South as well as North India. So, in Southern India, there were large landowners. They were called Velavar. Velavar is a Tamil word. It refers to large landowners. And there were also Ujjavars. Ujjavars were ordinary plowmen. Other than them, there were Kadaisar and Adimal. The Tamil terms refers to landless villagers and slaves who lived in the villages. So at that time, in North India, there were village headmen known as Gramabhojakas. So the Gramabhojaka was the largest landowner and also the powerful person of the village. He controlled villages, he hired slaves and laborers to cultivate lands, and he was entrusted with the task of collecting taxes from the people. He also acted as judge and the policeman. Then there were also another type of farmer, those who were known as Grihapatis. They were independent farmers. Other than Grihapati and Gramabhojaka, there were also Dasakarmakars. Dasakarmakars were landless laborers and had to earn a living, working in the fields owned by others. So, other than them, there were several craft persons who lived also there. They were the blacksmith, the potter, the carpenter, and the weaver. So, from whom we, there were different sources, from whom we know about them are the books called Jataka tales. So, what are the Jataka tales? The Jataka tales were tales may be composed by common men, but written and presented by Buddhist monks. We also come to know about them by the way of narration by travelers and from unknown sources. So, in next page it is given how a Greek unknown sailor narrates all the ports he visited during that time in India. And also, we come to know about these from a particular literary source that is called Sangam literature. So, Sangam literature is the earliest works of Tamil, which were composed around 2300 years ago. These texts were called Sangam because they were supposed to have been composed and compiled in one place. That is, in assemblies known as Sangams. These Sangamas were held in the city of Madurai. So, in this way, it was the sources were rich, and also the story is given about a clever poor man in the Jataka tales, which is given in page number 90 of your textbook. So, there was a clever poor young man who had nothing but had a dead rat only. So, he wanted to sell it for a coin to a hotel for their cat. Then one day there was a storm. There were branches and leaves which littered the king's gardens. The young man offered to clean the garden if he is given all the branches and leaves. The king agreed. So the young man was very clever. He collected all the children and gave them sweets. In return, he collected all the branches and leaves. These all he sold to the king's potter for a return. Okay, so he got a whole lot and paid the young man for it. Then what happened? He carried a jar of water to the gate and offered water to the grass cutters. The grass cutters wanted to give them something in return, but he told, when the time comes, I will ask from you. So one day he got the information that 500 horses are coming to the town. So he asked each grass cutter a bundle of grass from each and sold to the horse dealer in a very high price, that is for 1,000 coins. In this way, he earned a lot of money. So in this, there were several stories like this which were inscribed in the Jataka tales. and also there were sculptors who craved stone scenes depicting people's lives in towns and villages. So about all these towns and villages and ports, children, we will read in the next module. Till then, thank you. Okay, children,